Hello. I'm Tom Baker, and you are listening to my favorite internet radio show, Hacker Voice Radio. It's even more yummy than ice cream.
I will not be pushed, filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own.
Radio. You're tuning in on the 22nd of February 2006, and unexpectedly somewhat, we're joined with Ionix for... It's been a long time.
It has been a while, man. It's good to be back in the swing of things.
Well, it's good to have you here. And just next to me, we have Miss Sapphire.
Hello.
Ah, the always lovely.
Yeah. Excellent.
So, how have things been?
Pretty good. We definitely did miss you.
Oh, you don't have to lie to me.
Yeah. We tried to replace you with Droops, but I don't know. It's not the same thing, you know.
I know, but it sounds like a pretty damn good trade to me. If I could replace me with Droops, I would.
So how you been, man? It sounds like you got your life out of the shit so far.
Oh, man, yeah. I took an excavator and, like, a small 16-man crew to be able to dig me out, but I managed to, got my head above water right now.
Yeah.
Which is a lot better than having it under. But, yeah, things are going pretty well. I've started up a business, which seems to be taking off a little bit, or at least, you know.
You're not selling me. You're not selling yourself again, are you?
No. After you, I could never accept another man's money.
Good comeback.
Yeah, bada bang. That's right, I'm back, baby.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a day. What a life.
Indeed.
Hey. Well, let's see. Gosh. To anybody who's out there who's missed me, I'm sorry I've been gone.
Yeah.
For all those who didn't miss me and were glad that I'm gone, well, you're just going to have to live with it. I'm here now.
He's back.
I'm back. Better or worse. Most likely worse. On the upside, I'll be available to start answering Linux questions again, so...
Yeah. You see, we're having this trouble, like, how do you mount the... I'm joking.
Yes. Ionix tech support, back in business.
Online.
Online, 23/7. Well, you know, everybody's got to spend some time in the bathroom.
I guess. And I don't know if you've heard this, but in news today, a report leaked from Microsoft states that there will be 8 versions of Windows Vista. They are as follows. Vista Starter, Vista Home Basic, Vista Home Premium, Vista Business Basic, Vista Business Premium, Vista Corporate Basic, Vista Corporate Premium, and Vista... And Vista Ultimate. Wait.
Vista Ultimate. Ultimate Vista.
Ultimate. It's like all badass. It's got like a black skin with green lettering. Makes you feel like you're Neo.
All Matrix scrolling down on the desktop and shit.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, there's a thing that you can just stick in your ear. It doesn't actually connect you to the computer, but it makes you feel a lot better about using Windows. My question is this. When you can't give us one rock-solid, badass operating system, what makes you think you can give us 8 in the same release?
Exactly.
level that they give you work slightly better than the next. So when you get like Vista Starter, they're just like, okay, you call up tech support. They're like, all right, well,
and they laugh at you.
You're using Vista Starter, so you need to upgrade.
Yeah. No, they first laugh at you for half an hour.
You suddenly hear, hey, Bob!
He's got Starter!
No, they just get condescending and they're like, oh, of course it doesn't work. You're using Vista Starter. You should be using Vista Alternate or Vista this or Vista that.
Yeah, Vista Starter's for noobs, man. You should be using Home Basic.
How are you going to get anything done with that, man? You can't pwn. Not with Vista Starter.
Vista Starter comes with a taskbar and notepad.
No, it's just a start bar. You can turn it on and off. Like, well, of course you can't do anything on that. It's not actually an operating system. It's more of a marketing ploy. Yeah, that doesn't sound too good.
No. Well, apparently, the different versions will have different capabilities of running on different hardware. So, the Ultimate will be able to run on everything and be able to connect to a domain. Whereas, remember, we had the same thing with, like, Home and Pro. Home was unable to connect to the domain, whereas Pro was. And then you had the Corporate Edition, which was able to do all sorts of, like, global policy. Yeah,
controls and updates and full control. Yeah. I don't know. The whole thing just sounds like a
piece of shit.
Like a rabbi and a priest walked into a bar joke. You know? It's just, maybe it's just me, but I find that to be, I thought you were chidding with me.
First, no, it's true.
And that's why I was laughing so much. It sounded like one of the best jokes I've heard in the past couple of weeks. And it's true. Well, what are you going to do? There's something very simple that can be done about this. Don't buy it.
Yes.
That's my advice.
Now, another story posted by LucasAid here. Something that strikes a chord with us, and especially Hacker Voice Radio. It's every man's right to swear. A teenager has been fined £80 for letting slip a forward letter "fuck" while talking to friends. A police officer has been ticked off several youth. Police officer has been ticked off several youths in a Kent park for riding bikes. Pardon me. In a skateboarding area, Kurt Walker, a friend of the group, approached and was asked by his mates what he was up to. He replied, "fuck all," and was not doing anything. But the female officer overheard the 18-year-old student's reply and gave him a fixed penalty notice. Kurt, from Deal, I guess that's the place, who had been on his way from a youth centre where he was doing voluntary work, said, "She just slapped on the fine and then left. I walked off up the street furious. It's my right to swear in private conversation." He told the newspaper swearing was a normal part of the way he talked with his friends, and he's refusing to pay the penalty. "In my eyes, I have not committed a crime whatsoever," he said. The Kent Police spokesman confirmed he didn't swear at the police officer. He was just talking to his mates, but it was close enough to the police officer. Okay. In an offence under the Public Order Act, it's been quite reasonable to give someone a fixed penalty notice, and if somebody does not want to pay, then they can go to court. Some people think that the fine is over the top, and people think it's perfectly reasonable. It's one of those things that divides people like Marmite. Right, okay. Kurt's case is due to be heard in Ashford Magistrates Court on March the 31st. It's a bit fucking stupid, because basically, he was talking to his friend, and, you know, he said, "So what are you up to?" He's like, "Oh, fuck all, mate.
Yeah,
you know,
fuck all.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything." And then this police officer overheard him swearing and then placed an £80 fine on this 18-year-old. Now, do you really think that this 18-year-old's able to fucking pay for an £80 fine, like, off the fucking top of his fucking head. No way!
He just pulls out his fucking checkbook, writes the fucking cop a fucking check, and fucking tells it to fuck off.
And signs it as fuck.
Memo, fuck. No, I don't know about the laws in the UK particularly, but here in the US we have something called the First Amendment of our Constitution, which is the freedom of speech.
Yeah.
And so though it's not a terribly good idea, you can actually tell a cop to fuck off. Generally doesn't get you the best, treatment, and, but it's not illegal per se, and certainly not to say fuck in public. I mean, fuck.
Yeah, fuck. Who the fuck would say fuck in public? Only a motherfucker like that.
I know. The cop must have been a motherfucker. Yeah. I mean, I can see, her looking over and just be like, excuse me, would you mind, watching your language if she was that offended by it? But to make it an issue of public safety, I don't know. That's a hard sell.
It is really messed up, though.
That's pretty messed up right there.
I wonder how many £80 fine we'd get just in one episode.
Oh, man. I don't know. We're going to have to do a fuck counter.
Yeah. Yeah, we need one of those swear counters.
Go over the episode with a notebook and just put a little tick mark under different swear words. Tally them up at the end.
A little tally, yeah.
Post them on the forum. This Hacker Voice episode contains 337 fucks, 218 shits, 8 cunts, 3 twats, and about 4 million bitches.
Yeah. Where are those bitches at, man?
Where the bitches at? Let's see. Wow. I don't know, but my dog's been finding them, I suppose.
How is Watson?
Oh, Watson's doing quite fabulous. Yeah. He enjoyed his first trip to the city. One day I just took him for a walk. We walked about 50 blocks, checked out the embassy district and, things along those lines. He was fascinated by the fact that there was a new scent every 3 inches. And he's been traveling around. He's been having a good time. He's in good health and good spirits.
Excellent.
Which is, all that I guess you can ask.
Yeah.
And he's got a new girlfriend. Yeah, he hasn't seen his German Shepherd last in a while, but now he's having some fun with a poodle.
So he's playing away from home.
Hmm?
He's playing away from home.
Yeah, well, he comes where I go, so.
Yeah.
That's about that. Yeah, it was interesting. I ended up taking the train down to New York City with him. And apparently the Metro North in New York is one of the only train lines in the United States that allows dogs to be unkenneled on the train. So it was kind of fun. He was loving it.
Yeah.
But again, he loves everything. He's pretty easygoing as far as that goes.
Yeah, definitely. He's
doing well.
Talking about sex, there's a survey.
We were?
Yeah, I don't know. When are we not? Apparently there's a survey being published. It says, have sex and live longer. Scientists have confounded that the long-held talent that sex is bad for your health. For Zambian mole rats, at least, of that extends their lifespan. A work by, guess what, a German researcher. Who else would be studying sex than the fucking Germans? Ooh, Scheiße! To be published in the journal Current Biology goes against accepted wisdoms that carnal gymnastics, I like that, are biologically expensive and tend to decrease lifespans. Apparently,
No, it only makes sense it would increase lifespan. You have aerobic activity.
Yeah.
You have, beneficial endorphin rushes.
Yeah.
Not even to mention the stretch relief factors. I gotta say, that makes a lot of sense to me. Although, why we're studying it in rats and not just getting a couple thousand people together for a scientific study.
Exactly.
It's beyond me. But
and where's my name on that list?
Yeah, when it comes to sex, I'm against animal research.
Yeah.
If you're going to be studying something you might as well be studying on humans. I don't see the harm in that.
No. sure I wouldn't be mining to be, you know, paid to fuck my girlfriend, you know, once in a while for scientific research. It might help.
That wouldn't be terrible at all. The equipment that they hook up to you to monitor, you know, your vital signs and such might be a little, you know, impeding to the carnal gymnastics.
Yes.
But,
I'm sure I can ignore them.
I'm sure that you could work around it. It probably wouldn't be.
Some guy sitting in the corner with a clicker. Click, 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 click.
N1, N2. Oh, you're slacking there, buddy. You're slowing down. Come on, keep up the pace. Come on, just 20 more. 20 more. Come on. N19, N18.
Fuck off or I'll kick in the face. You're putting me off, man.
You're throwing me off my game here, man. Yes. Well, Germans, they're good at sex research, bad at mailing things.
Yes.
Go figure.
And another Apple exploit, security researchers have discovered a vulnerability in Mac OS X that creates a means for hackers to compromise vulnerable systems. The critical security flaw is unpatched, but workarounds have been issued. The flaw stems from errors in processing of metadata file association, metadata in zip archives, by renaming safe file extensions stored in zip archives. Hackers could trick users into executing malicious shell scripts. The security bug might also be used to attack Apple Safari browsers by creating means of attacker to automatically run malignant code, I guess that's what this meant to say, when Safari users visit a malicious constructed website, and even more potent exploit scenarios.
Well, generally, don't you have to open up a zip archive in Mac OS X with Stuffit?
I don't know. I've never used Mac OS X.
Well, I was just saying, it almost always, when I use it, gives you the option, you know, of unzipping the archive and looking at what's there. Does the metadata actually change the... change what's in it, like when you unzip it? If you're looking at something that looks like a fairly, you know, benevolent code, and it turns out to run a shell script on your box?
Yeah, yeah. And also, I mean, another thing is that Mac users are generally quite lazy, and they type their password in every time it requests for an admin password. Not only that, the first exploit was done where they there was a new version of Mac OS something coming out, and somebody was sending around a tar.gz file, file, which said screenshots.tar.gz, whatever it is. And people kept on clicking on it, and apparently it would run a shell script, then spread across the network to other Mac operating systems and execute the code on there. However, that wasn't really treated as a virus. It was more of a Trojan and such.
Well, I don't know what to say. Mac will probably patch it up pretty quick.
Yeah, hopefully.
One would hope. But I'm actually not sure how I assume that Mac OS X, you know, Mac patches the thing in much the same way as, like, Linux and Windows patches come out.
Sure.
But I must say I'm a bit ignorant as far as the Macs go. I've been using them a lot of recent, but I haven't gotten into the nuts and bolts of them yet.
Well, I'm just going to have to...
The OS is remarkably accommodating. It's happy to go ahead and do all kinds of things for you, whether you ask it to or not, but usually it does what you ask for, and sometimes you end up with a... I also noticed there's a habit amongst Mac users to run programs, like leave programs running, because when you X out of them, it doesn't actually shut down the program.
That's
it just
right.
shuts down that window.
That's right.
And so I'm like, what's going on? It's so slow, but this is a fast Mac. And then I look down at the little taskbar there, and I'm like, oh, it's because they're running everything under the sun.
I'm just going to have to take the patented piss break, so I'll leave you here with Sapphire.
No, don't leave me alone.
Oh, the patented piss break. He's got to pee. He's going away. Talk to me.
You're going to leave me alone?
Yeah, with me. That's smart.
Great.
Even given the thousands of miles distance between us, I don't know. Sounds fishy. I think there's a bit of negligence. So how's life on your part?
Not too bad. Shit weather, but yeah, not too bad.
Not too bad.
Having a lot of arguments with my manager, but yeah.
An argument with your manager?
Yeah.
Well, if you need, you know, need the person straightened out, I'd be happy to.
Oh, yes, please.
Call and talk to them. I'm sure we can come to an equitable solution.
Yeah.
It doesn't involve any kind of violence at any kind of point.
Oh, I'd love to it to involve violence.
I hate it might involve the threats of violence. Well, generally, you don't threaten violence with the intent to use it, well, unless you're the U.S. government, but... That's another story entirely.
I think she's just the job's worth, that's it.
Well, precisely the managing for you.
Yeah. Well, thank God I'm training to become a manager in September, so I'll do a lot better than she does.
Well, there you go. Gross incompetence, take over their job.
Yeah.
That's the way you do it.
Yeah.
Wait till you're there, boss, and then make their life hell.
Yeah, definitely.
In Texas Hold'em, we call that the slow play. Damn. So any new tech news from you? You've been fiddling with computers?
No, not really.
Hacking into the Gibson?
No.
Oh, you probably don't want to talk about it on the air.
There's actually, Bilal's put a piece of news up on the computer screen. It says, Radio Frequency Identification, RFID Specialist, Impingi, can't pronounce it, has devised a way to make it easier for manufacturers and stores to put RFID tags on shirts, CDs, and other consumer items. A move that should please corporations but could raise... the hackles of privacy advocates. That's wrong.
Oh, they just want to, you know, track you and your purchasing habits and anything that you own at any given point in time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. It's no big deal.
No big deal.
Don't worry. No, the sarcasm. I'm sorry. Well, yeah, it's looking like that's going to become more and more common, and, you know, yeah, it should raise some concerns with privacy advocates and probably open up whole new realms of hacking.
Mm.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I rooted this guy's shirt.
Yeah, but I don't understand why you would want to do that. It's wrong.
Okay, I don't know. There's some uses, like, that I could see corporate structures wanting. Like, you could then develop things so that the RFID chips, when you walk past them, alert, you know, a computer to what you're using, what you're wearing at that time, and maybe a screen would come up with some advertising geared towards, you know, what you apparently already like because, well, you have it. Tracking stolen items would probably become easier.
Yeah.
And tracking all of us would become a lot easier. I mean, you buy you buy a shirt with a credit card.
Mm.
Your name then gets tied in with that RFID.
Yeah.
You walk past an RFID reader wearing a shirt, and they could then, you know, easily figure out who you are.
Mm.
I'm not really sure where the consumer benefit comes into this whole thing. But I don't know. It's just, it's going to happen. That RFID zapper, there was a site that was showing how to build, like, a homebrew RFID zapper that you could point at an RFID chip, like, at your shirt, and hit a button, and it would surge enough energy through the RFID chip so that it fried it out. It's going to become yet another one of those, you know, there's this, and then here's how to get around it. Kind of like wrapping the RFID cards, if they were to become mandatory identification, in tinfoil.
Mm.
Of course, wrapping your shirt in tinfoil is making quite the fashion statement.
Yeah.
But
Or actually cutting it out of your shirt. You'll end up with a huge hole in it.
Or you could just start making your own clothing and shoes and consumer devices, and, well, everything, and not have to worry about it.
And then you'll have to start making your own RFID tags.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You don't want to leave that one out.
Oh, that's true. You could just walk through a department store and scan RFIDs into a Palm Pilot, make your own tags, and
yeah. Did you just read that
story?
Yeah, then. Okay.
Yeah, on the beneficial side of RFID, I've been playing around with the fidget.
Oh, you have?
And I have been, yeah. I've been working on a way to authenticate, to use the fidget to authenticate through a web server.
Right.
And the RFID reader, something kind of like when you have an account with, say, Google. You know,
right.
You can customize your Google page, and it links to your Gmail and everything, and it's all one account and one password. The idea would be to, you know, access a server or access a company which you've been, I don't know, you need something from, I suppose, you have an account with and you do things on. But, you know, you'd have the reader, and then you just swipe a keychain in front of it. It would authenticate you via that, through an SSL connection, and then, you know, be able to link the database of all of your information and all of your stuff on that server with the RFID tag, which I thought would be a fun use for it.
So at least you put some use to it.
Yeah, I've also been tooling around with a script that makes it, that makes the RFID swipe come up in a password field in a form.
Yeah.
What I've been basically trying to do with it is make it so it's absolutely necessary to swipe the RFID card in front of my computer and able to log into Debian.
Yeah.
Which I've gotten to work, but not consistently enough.
Yeah, it does take a little workaround.
Yeah, it's a little bit of tweaking. But
we got another article, though. We talked about a guy that was stranded on an ice lake or something, and was very thirsty, so he had to drink his own urine.
The chainsaw was a good help. That's a great chainsaw. It works wonderfully.
Yeah.
I know. It's electric. Me too, so. Sorry.
It's all right.
We were just talking chainsaws. I cut up some wood earlier today.
Oh, okay. And in this story titled Piss, the Body's Own Health Drink. Some claim it cures everything from colds to cancer, while stranded hiker Paul Beck drank nothing else for 6 days and survived. So does piss have genuine health benefits? Maxine Firth investigates. Apparently, the story summarizes, for advocates, it's a miraculous elixir that has replaced the morning coffee as their first drink of the day. For most other people, it's just bodily waste that should be strictly confined to the toilet bowl. But drinking one's urine is really good for you.
It's so easy, you know. You wake up in the morning, you gotta go. There you go.
Yeah.
You know, it's like setting the timer on the coffee maker to go at a certain point, but without all the digital interface and, you know, having to actually put water into. Well, I suppose you do have to put water into it, don't you?
Yeah.
I've heard that it's very good for the skin. It is sterile.
Yeah.
Although the ammonia content and the fact that it actually is physical waste kind of makes me think that it contains some things that really should be out of the body.
Precisely. That's why you piss them out.
That was generally my impression of how the system worked.
Because it's processed through the kidneys, it's got toxins in from your body, so I don't think you could be able to ingest it.
Yeah,
now, as far as, like, you know, as far as purifying it and being able to use it water in a survival circumstance, or if you absolutely have to,
I mean,
it's better than drinking seawater, but I don't know about, you know, replacing it with my morning cup of coffee and energy drink in the afternoon. It just seems a little over the top.
It's a bit morbid. Apparently, male porcupines piss on female porcupines prior to mating.
Yeah. That's probably just to show dominance, though.
Yeah.
Mark territory. That way when they're done, another porcupine comes up, smells that the female's been urinated on, and doesn't know if he exactly wants a problem. It's like, oh, this is some other guy's woman here. You know, I don't know. Dogs actually do that to mark territory, but they also do it to other dogs to...
take the piss.
They piss on other dogs to show subservience.
Right.
Which is why when the Watson's brother, who's a little freak, when he thinks you're angry at him, he rolls over on his back and spurts a little spout of pee in the air, which is not good for the carpets.
No.
Or your clothing, if it happens to get on you. So, like, thanks, man. That's exactly what I was looking for today. You know, I woke up, I was just hoping that I could find a little dog to piss on me. You made all my dreams come true. I'm going to give a thumbs down to the whole drinking your own urine thing.
Yes.
Just in a modern day with, plumbing.
Yeah, it's definitely not not a hacker lifestyle part of it at all.
No. You're stranded on a desert, on an island. You got no fresh water to drink. You need to survive. You don't have any purification capsules on you. It's probably better than drinking swamp water or, seawater. On the other hand, you wake up in the morning, you gotta go, you look at the coffee machine, you look at the toilet, back to the coffee machine, and like you're like, this is a problem. I don't know, it seems like almost lazy to me. It's like, for Christ's sakes, put on a pot of coffee, go to the bathroom, come back, wait, pour your cup of coffee.
And in other hallucinogenic news... The Supreme Court green lights mind-expanding tea. A U.S. branch of a Brazilian church can use hallucinogenic tea as part of its religious rituals. The Supreme Court has decreed. The court ruled that the government must allow the use of tea under religious freedom laws, the BBC reports. Around 130 members of O Centro Espantia Beneficie a una do vengtal quof hauska tea, or whatever it's pronounced, hauska, I don't know, tea twice a month during half hour rituals, saying this is the only way they can understand God by getting all spaced out and shit, yo.
The only way you think that you understand God is if you're on a strong hallucinogen.
Exactly.
I mean, let's see. Whether that's actually the case, but I do have to say that it seems like religious fanatics have all the fun.
Yeah. The Brazilian blend of Hosca, I think that's how it's said, I don't know, uses Binostereopsis, Capia, a jungle vine known as Ayahuasca in Quechua, which is a rich source of hallucinogenic dimetriptinapinidumine, short for DMT. It's mixed with extracts from either Psychotria verdis or Diplotyris cabernera to produce the mind-expanding infusion. Shit, man, if you're taking this shit, you probably have to be really high to be able to pronounce this word. The problem is that DMT is a controlled substance in the U.S. Back in 1999, federal agents grabbed a church supply of that drug. The Bush administration argued that the brew was illegal and dangerous until decisions by the Chief Justice John Roberts slated the matter. Or not, the Supreme Court did return the case to a federal appeals court where it could be re-examined for more evidence. So apparently these papas are tripping out on LSD.
The BBC did a documentary a few months ago, and they filmed people on that drug. They went mad. Oh, they just freaked out.
I bet they could see through the eyes of God, man.
Or at least they thought they could.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't really have a problem with the Supreme Court making it legal for them to do, but if it's okay for, like, religious purposes, couldn't there just be, like, a waiver system so that if you just, you know, wanted to trip balls on the shit, you just, like, sign off and be like, I'm responsible for my own well-being. I promise not to sue the U.S. government for not making this illegal. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that's about it. No? That wouldn't work?
Hopefully.
All right, well, thumbs up to the church that got that one through. That's a rare coup there.
Yes.
Getting the Bush administration to say, well, you know, drugs are bad, but okay.
Yeah. Seeing as you believe in God, you know, I guess, you know.
You believe in God, I believe in God. I'm not sure if it's the same God. I'm pretty sure if it's not, my God could kick your God's ass. But if your God wants you to be tripping balls, I guess that's all right. I'm tripping balls on my power trip every day, yeah. So I guess it's not too much different. And I don't know. Who the hell knows? Here was one thing that I wanted to bring up.
Yeah.
Was, I don't know how much you've heard about it, but it seems to be that's like all the news in the U.S. right now, is the U.S. is apparently trying to sell some of its ports
right.
to the United Arab Emirates.
Right.
And the Bush administration's position has been, this was actually a deal that was set up by the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
The Bush administration's position is that selling points of access into the United States, such as the port in Tampa, to the United Arab Emirates is not a security risk at all, and that it would be racist of us not to sell it to them because right now so many of our ports are sold to foreign nations. Like, the funny part about Tampa right now, and this is the one they love to bring up, is that it's actually it's owned and operated by a British company.
Right.
Now, the interesting part is that the United Arab Emirates company that wants to buy the port, they're actually owned by the government of the United Arab Emirates.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the bombers in 9/11 came from the United Arab Emirates.
That's right.
And the United Arab Emirates has been involved in selling and trading nuclear secrets, bombs, weapons, in the region to what we would deem as not very friendly people.
So it looks like they're just trying to bring the family closer together then.
Perhaps. But they've been not very nice to us, which is the part that I can't understand.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of it. It doesn't sound like a good idea.
No.
At least I can say, you know, if the British have a big problem with us, they're most likely not going to sneak something into our ports and, you know, try and hurt us in any way.
It would be bad for our health.
Well, it would be bad for any nation's health, but given the friendly nature of our two governments, I think it's, well, you know, they'd go through diplomatic means before it came to that.
Sure.
I mean, it's like we're two kids that grew up together, you know? You're like the older brother, and eventually we just rumbled a bunch.
Yeah.
Until we got out of our teens and, like, realized, let's be adults about the whole thing. Then, of course, you know, I guess America's going through a midlife crisis or something. Trying to buy fast cars and pretend they're a teenager again, but I don't know. The whole mess just seems absurd.
Sounds like America... America's having erectile problems.
Yeah, and they're trying to compensate with fighter aircraft, and yeah, perhaps that's it.
Yeah. George Bush.
America, you need to get laid.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I encourage everybody in the world, the United States, anybody listening, if you can tonight, get laid. You'll be a better person for it in the morning.
Yes.
But use protection, because let's face it, I don't want to be responsible for a lot of kids.
So you're going to pay for the child support?
Sure. I can be reached at 60 Cleveland Street, London, SW1, floor 121.
The BT Tower.
Yeah. I have the apartment above the penthouse.
Yeah. The janitor's
office. Okay, well, maybe it's non-existence, but still.
Yeah. You know, you hope, you hope.
Yeah, I hope. Well, I don't know. Whoever's there can probably foot the bill.
And for our UK listeners, on Monday, the 27th of February at 8 p.m. on Channel 4, a dispatcher reports on how the Big Brother-style government reduces your privacy. That's all I know about it. It's just something that Lucozade posted in his news reports, his daily news reports. So I guess you got to be checking that shit out.
Sounds good, sounds good. I think I actually get BBC 4 now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you gotta watch it.
Yeah, if I can catch it, definitely. Yeah.
Oh, no, that's Channel 4, not BBC 4.
Oh, what's Channel 4?
Channel 4 is Channel 4.
That's what the network's called?
Yeah, Channel 4.
Oh, great. I'm pretty sure I don't get that one.
No. And guess what? It's on Channel 4.
Well, that would make sense, yeah. I suppose. In a sort of roundabout way.
Yeah.
No, wait, that's directly corollary. Sorry.
And zombie PCs grow quickly online, which kind of is a bit of a stupid thing, because how else would they grow? Zombies PCs start to grow offline.
That would be scary.
Yeah.
That's when we're all fucked.
Wait, isn't that called Microsoft Windows?
No, even that has to be hooked up to something to be able to talk to other Windows boxes. Oh, God, can you imagine they start talking to each other without the internet, without Ethernet, without dial-up? Well, we'd be so fucked.
And it appears that indictments and court cases in the U.S. have once again thrown the spotlight on so-called zombie PCs. Or bots. In mid-February, Californian Christopher Maxwell was charged with creating a network of remotely controlled computers, or bots, that they put to several uses. The U.S. Alleges that Mr. Maxwell and two accomplices netted $100,000 by bombarding the owners of compromised computers with pop-up adverts. The U.S. Department of Justice alleges that the network of bots was also used to shut down computer systems at Seattle's Northwest Hospital in January 2005. In a separate case in January, Jensen James Anchetta pleaded guilty to charges that he has set up and controlled tens of thousands of zombie computers that were used to send spam attack websites and pepper users with pop-up adverts. He made more than $61,000 by renting the bots and by using them to serve up adverts. He's facing up to 6 years in jail and must pay the U.S. government all that money. Statistics gathered by the security firm Cypher Trust revealed that how bad the program of botnets is getting. Every day we are detecting more than 25,000 connections to the internet and sending emails. John said, Paul Judge, Chief of Technology Officer at Cypher Trust. That's unique machines that have never done it before, he said. It's a distribution platform that has become more popular for the attackers. Mr. Judge said that the count of new bots has hit 25,000 every day in November 2005 and has stayed at that level ever since. Apparently, some of these botnets were found at U.S. naval bases and phishing gangs and spammers obviously use zombie computers. Unbeknown to us, Microsoft machines are more popular with botnets.
Really?
You're telling me something there, mate. Oh, phew.
That's horrible.
Who would have thought?
How'd that happen?
Who would have thought?
I thought SP2 was going to fix all that.
Wait a second. Windows is vulnerable? Whoa.
When did that happen?
I must have been ill that day. Writing a virus.
Wait, there's viruses for those things?
Yeah.
Huh. Why didn't Microsoft tell me? Bastards.
Did you not get the memo?
I must have missed it. I must have missed it. Mm. It's horrible. That's absolutely no good.
Yes.
How do these things happen? Ooh, Gnome's coming out with a new release.
Yeah.
Should be interesting.
It's called Garden Gnome.
Is it?
Yeah.
Garden Gnome. And it's constantly being stolen by teenagers.
Yeah. Over the internet via ISOs.
Garden Gnome found on court steps of federal buildings. Hackers suspected. Oh, for crying out loud. It's a crazy world we live in.
Yeah. I wonder how many CDs of Linux Bill Gates gets a day in the post of just, like, people just sending him copies.
I don't know, but that's a good idea. Or we could just save some money and just keep bombarding him with emails to links to different Linux distributions.
Yeah.
Say, have you ever thought about making SSH intrinsic to Windows? Oh, no, you haven't, because that would be open source. Sorry.
Yeah.
My mistake. Apparently, Microsoft has a Linux team now.
Right.
Developing, I don't know, proprietary software for Linux.
Right.
Something. I don't know. I read something briefly about one of the people who created Gentoo had recently quit from Microsoft's Linux
team. Oh, yes,
that's
right.
They weren't letting him do anything cool.
Wait,
like,
Microsoft's
Linux
team?
I can do all this shit, and they're constantly telling me
to write Windows code.
Yeah. In Linux. I mean, yeah. What the hell? How's that going to fly?
Yeah. Not very far.
No, no, we're fast. There was a good gag website going around years ago. It was, if you Google, like, Windows Linux or something, it comes up with, like, a gag Microsoft site.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
I always found that pretty funny. But insane. So I have plans to put Debian Linux on a Mac G5. Dual processor, dual core, which is going to be fun. Although I just recently found out that in order to take advantage of the 64-bit processing, I'm going to have to compile any program that can handle 64-bit processing.
So you're going to be, you're just going to overwrite, or you're going to dual boot, or?
On the G5, I'm going to be dual booting because the primary purpose for my company getting it is to be able to use it as a video editing machine.
Sure.
Using Final Cut. And there are some plans to move my graphical editing from the GIMP to Photoshop, but I'm kind of resisting that change right now.
Yeah.
The primary advantage is that Photoshop can use a lot more colors and a lot more color depth. But apparently the GIMP team in the next release of the GIMP is working on using a different graphics library for the GIMP, which should be able to clear up that issue at least. I don't know. I'm resisting that change, but
we know you like a GIMP.
That's true. It's true. I may just use the GIMP to make Photoshop images, then load them into Photoshop and export them into JPEGs or GIFs. Or PNG from there. Just cover my tracks a little.
Yeah.
It's like it was actually made on the GIMP, but it says it was made on Photoshop, so we're cool, right? But yes, I very much love the GIMP, and I've been missing it of late. I haven't been by my computers, or my own computers, for, let's see, a couple weeks now.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling the Linux withdrawal. And I haven't had internet on any kind of regular basis for a couple months now.
Yeah, that must have hurt.
Ooh, you know, yeah. Yeah, that hurt. kind of put a lot of my projects on hold.
Yeah, definitely. Just slightly.
Just a little bit, but I'm back, baby. Getting my pipeline hooked up tomorrow, along with my office. I picked up another computer.
Excellent.
An older iMac that I'm going to be screwing around with. Plans are to actually put Linux on the iMac before I get the G5. But it should be fun.
Fantastic. Sounds like a good little laughter.
Yeah, it should be. It should be a fun project. Some people have been like, why would you want to replace OS X on an iMac with Linux? And I only have like two real answers, is that I prefer to use Linux because I can.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess part of it is just a masturbatory exercise to see, can I make Linux run on this?
Yeah, you've got to do it.
I think so. Plus, one of my partners in the company is now fascinated with Linux.
Right.
Wants to see it working. Wants to see it working on a Mac. And so I figure if I can bring one more person into the Linux fold,
you'd be a better man.
I'd be a better man for it.
Yeah.
That's right. Linux taking over one person at a time. Which is a damn good goal, I think.
Yeah.
Damn good goal. I know there are some that would disagree. Scoby. How is the Scope Meister?
He popped into IRC like 3 days ago while I was asleep.
And how's his company going?
Not sure.
No.
Not sure. Haven't heard an update from him in a while, so not sure.
Yeah, the last thing I heard, I sent him some IBM manuals for programming parallel processes on IBM Blade servers.
Right.
And I haven't heard much after that. So I don't know. I hope it's going well.
Yeah.
Although I was always thinking that with a release date of, what was it, 2010?
Yeah.
That perhaps the entire, you know, server and programming environments are going to be
upgrade slightly. Yes. It is weird to like to start programming for an environment that in 10 years time is gonna change dramatically. You're gonna have some different, completely different architecture.
Hopefully.
Yes. I don't think 64-bit's gonna stay for like the next 6 or 7 years, at least.
I would hope not. I'm sure it'll still be around, but yeah, in the but same way that, you know, computers from 6 years ago were using 32-bit architecture.
Sure.
Although it seems to be progressing faster and faster now, but I don't know. I'm not actually holding my breath on that one, because until we can actually get operating systems that fully utilize 64-bit architecture, as well as programs that do the same, we're kind of like in an in-between period right now.
Yeah, you've got to
have things that will work with it, but they don't utilize it to its full advantage, and then you have programs that they'll work on it, but only because they're running in a 32-bit mode.
Yeah, you've got that whole kind of, maybe that's the case for desktop environments, but server, I think servers
are... Oh, yeah, server environments, certainly, yeah.
Yeah, they've definitely moved on to 64.
Mm-hmm.
Although you tend to see on 64-bit desktops, wow.exe is the Windows kind of go between 64 and 32. It's a kind of like a little translator. For 32 bits. Yeah, so you see that buzzing away all the time when you're trying to do weird and funky things with Windows XP.
Yeah. Is there any news as to which of these 8 distributions of Vista is going to be, you know, fully 64-bit compatible?
No, none. I would assume all of them, but I dread to say that.
That'd be a hell of an assumption.
Yeah.
Because, back when Vista was Longhorn, wasn't that like one of the project goals, like a mission critical goal?
Yeah, that's right.
Longhorn was to be a 64-bit operating system?
That's right, yeah.
And it's nice to say your operating system can handle 64-bit, but it can't really do much in it because there's not programming for it.
Yeah.
That's a completely different thing than we run a 64-bit operating system. So I don't know.
I don't know. It's a 64-bit operating system, but none of the programs actually work on it. So.
Because they're not programmed in 64-bit architecture.
Yeah. And you can't print from it. You can't really view files on it. Too much on it. But you can
There's
still get
the possibility that they bit off a little more than they can chew.
But the sidebar works perfectly.
Well, it always has, hasn't it?
And transparency works really well as well.
Well, that's good. Yeah, it looks pretty.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
You know. It's nothing that you can't do with KDE.
Yeah. Not as pretty as Looking Glass.
No, that's another thing. When I set up Debian, I want to see if I can put Looking Glass on this G5.
Oh, yes, please do.
Well, I will, and if I do, there'll be many screenshots.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that on that point alone... I might have sold my business partners on using Linux. What the hell is this? Well, this is called a really, really heavy GUI.
Yeah.
It's also perhaps one of the most phenomenally looking GUIs you'll ever encounter.
How much did that cost you?
Well, it came out to, roughly, wait, let me carry the zero, add in zero, yeah, divide, what's zero times zero? It didn't. There's your answer. What did it cost me? How much did the G5 cost?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so there's some fun things going on right now. Basically, right now, I've tied in with a company called Aspect Galleries, and I'm designing a Flash website for them so that local artists here in Woodstock can hire us. We come in, take pictures of their work, set up online galleries for them, and then set up contacts so that people online who see the paintings, you know, or photographs or whatever it may be, can contact them about their actual artwork. We're trying to create a sort of local hub for artists to be able to advertise, I guess would be the sense of the word.
A bit like DeviantArt.
Yeah, a bit like that, except it's geographically locational right now. It's mostly the Woodstock area has a thriving art community, and we're tapping into that. And then there's also some clients interested in from New York City. We have a French client signed up right now.
Yeah.
Two French clients, actually. So,
mon Dieu.
It's coming out. We're also... building an idea. So when after you come to the website, there's a little thing that's like a musical lounge.
Uh-huh.
And it's a sort of Flash setup so that you can, it shows images and video of like the band that's playing.
Right.
And then simultaneously it streams through a Shoutcast server to, right. You know, with playlists. And you can click on it and, you know, see who's booked to play the lounge, like uh-huh. online.
Funky.
And if you want to catch a band, you just, you know, go on your computer and when they're on. And if you want to, if you like what you listen to, you can also download their music from there. But you don't get, like, the interactive digital experience from it.
Sure.
And we're setting up a sound studio right now, as well as a digital video studio.
Cool.
Which should be fun.
Sounds
I don't know.
Like
it's
luck,
it's
yeah.
going pretty well.
Amazing.
Coming together.
Fantastic. Yeah.
But it's going to be an interesting thing. I just finished up with this toy designer
uh-huh.
who designed a toy that was being made by Slinky a while back.
Right.
And they dropped the toy line and he bought the rights back to it and wanted me to set up a website for it. So I've done that. It was a tenuous business experience because it's always difficult when you have a client who is willing to pay you but doesn't know what they want.
Sure.
And so you end up with 6 to 8 emails a day from them with suggestions.
Yeah.
Constant phone calls. And, you know, I don't know. This gentleman down the city, when I visited him, he seemed to be much more interested in, like, hanging out and bullshitting than he was at actually getting something done.
Yeah.
So I ended up designing the entire site, emailing him a version of it, having him come back and be like, I like it, but everything needs to change.
Yeah.
So I designed the site again from the ground up. And this one he seemed to like all right. And then I'm in the process of just changing it around, but just finished up that whole thing and am moving on right now to, well, better clients, I'll just say.
Yeah.
Good but stuff. I did have the opportunity to go to the Toy Fair, the New York City Toy Fair, with a vendor pass.
Right.
And it was really cool. I got a lot of freebies from Lego.
Sure.
And, you know, basically hung out in the Javis Center, which is like a huge convention center down in New York City, and just played with toys all day.
Sounds like a fun job.
That wasn't too bad. That was one of the perks with this one.
Sweet.
But, yeah. Well, so that's what I've been up to recently.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to hear back from you sometime soon.
Oh, yeah, very soon, I'd imagine. I don't foresee there being too much difficult
sure.
in that. Tomorrow I'm moving my belongings out of storage and over to my apartment.
Right.
And also having my pipe hooked up.
Cool.
So after that happens, I'm back in business, baby.
Fantastic.
That's right.
Well, I'm sorry to say that we're out of time right now. So,
out of time.
Yeah. So we're going to have to end it for tonight, but I'm sure we'll
right.
hear back from you very soon.
And, oh, yes, very shortly.
And hopefully have you back as one of our regulars.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you for dropping by, man. It was great to hear from you. It's great to hear
great
how
to be
you're
on. Thanks for having me.
How
always
your life's
a pleasure.
Been going. Yeah.
Life. Who needs it?
Don't talk to me about life.
Don't talk to me about life.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm no longer Marvin.
Sure.
Things are looking up. They're still bizarre, but they're looking up.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I've been Belial.
I am Ionix. I don't plan on stopping.
And I'm Sapphire.
Oh, there she is.
And good night.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen.